time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Well, hey, everybody. It's Chuck. Welcome back to the B-Lab. So I've got a subject I'm going to go over with you today that I have never made a video on. I had a fellow beekeeper, her name is Tamara, sent me a text message yesterday at my beekeeping number. And Tamara's moving to Texas. And I sold her a nuke a few years ago. And apparently this nuke has done very well. It's in a perfect place with lots of wildflowers. And she just said, can you give this big hive a home? Can you just come out and take it off my property? Of course, I had to kind of figure out how far away Tamara lives. She lives about a half hour away. Did I have the time and could I use the bees? I have plenty of bees, but at the same time, I'm always willing to have more, to get through the winter and to use additional brood frames and things like that to get, you know, some strength through the winter. So I said, absolutely. And also, do you mind if I make a video about it? Because relocating a hive, especially from one that's not in your apiary, has some considerations and some things to think about that I figured would make a good topic for both new and advanced beekeepers that have never done this before. Some things to consider. And first things first is getting your kit ready, right? So this is the prelim. I haven't even been to a property yet. I haven't even seen the hive, but this is what I'm going through right now, thinking about driving to a piece of property where I've never been before and to see where these bees are. She did send me one picture. I'll try to put it right here. If I don't, I apologize. Anyway, it's a triple deep with a super on top of it on some sort of stand. I can't see the stand in the picture, but in my mind, I'm like a triple deep in the fall. I'm like, okay, so this could be a beast of a hive if it's got a lot of brood in it and it's doing really, really well. I have no idea. Maybe it's two deeps of honey and one deeper brood. But in my mind, I'm prepared for what could be a very large hive. So I'm starting to think through, how am I going to put a triple deep in my truck? Am I going to stack it three high? Am I going to set, you know, individual brood frames in the truck and then bring them here? Decisions that I'm going to have to make on site when I'm there. But in that process, this is kind of my kit and what I'm thinking of. The basics, right? You know, you need your smoker, have it ready. You need fuel for your smoker because you may show up somewhere and it's just rained and everything's wet. So you need some dry fuel. You need something to light your smoker with, remote, because you know your normal apiary setup might have a lighter right there, but you get all the way out to another piece of property and you can't even light your smoker. Basics of a hive tool. A brush, maybe not required, but I'm imagining a lot of bees that may be looking for their house after I've moved a few, and there may be some bees I need to brush off of a stand or something there at the end. Just have a bee brush. These are the basics. Mite wash. Should I do a mite wash on site? Is it required? The answer to this is probably no. You can do a mite wash at any time, but I am knee deep in the middle of requeening, as you guys know that watch this channel, every one of my hives with Harbo assay 3 and 4 queens. And then if there are 2 or below, I'm pinching them and then I'm requeening. I've just put another 60 cells out in some of my 3 and 4 frame nukes to get them going from the ones I pinched, and I've requeened my stronger hives with the better Harbo assay tested queens. Every queen in my apiary has been tested. Every one, not just the good ones. That's how dedicated I am to getting the right queens in my apiary. So a mite wash on site is something I may do just to kind of get a sense of where they are. You know, if I do a mite check and there's 40 mites in there, that's good to know. No mite resistance, what to do with those frames, maybe hit them with oxalic. I'm not gonna do oxalic on the site, but if I bring them here, that may be the first thing I do if I get a mite bomb type of a hive. I'm using the soap method, and I'm using a bucket to shake bees in. I've got a sieve, and then I've got, of course, my mite check cup here with the holes that I've done in that. So that's my mite check kit. You're going into a hive you've never been in before. So my little cheesy little gloves here, this is for delicate handwork. You're going into a hive that you don't know their temperament. You gotta have some serious gloves. You gotta be ready to close them up. Also, you know, bees going up through your pant legs, things like that. You know, I've got some little straps I can strap my pant legs closed. That would also be the type of thing if you're going in to do swarms. You know, if you don't know the temperament of the bees, just be prepared for the worst. What else have I got in here? I intend on catching the queen if I can. I'm going to go through the hive and try to catch the queen. I'm not going to spend all day looking for a queen in a triple deep, but I'm going to go through the hive and look for it. Queen catching clip, the basics that I always have in my jacket, so I don't even need to remember to bring this sort of stuff. Hive tools going in the bucket. Double screen boards. Why in the world would I need a double screen board to transport a hive? Well, what I'm thinking through is if I can't stack a triple deep in my truck, I may end up setting individual brood chambers in the truck, and I'm gonna set them on the double screen board so that this is a closed bottom with a little bit of ventilation, and then maybe stick something on top. I'm not bringing a bunch of lids. I may just use this as one or two side, bottom boards, basically, is what that's acting as. Ratchet straps. If I can set, a double deep, I don't want it, if you get in a car accident with bees and they're not strapped down, they're, guess what, the bees are gonna go everywhere. You need to be prepared for the worst. Strap your bees into your truck, just like you're putting them on a tractor trailer. So a couple ratchet straps are important to have. And I don't use this a lot anymore, but the good old Hive Butler. The Hive Butler is a plastic bucket that's designed, and it's got, you can set frames in here, they fit. You can set this by, if I'm looking for the queen, I can take a frame, I can set it in here, I can set it in here, if I'm not setting it in right back into another deep. The Hive Butler is it's my toolbox today. So I'm just gonna set some stuff in here, but this also gives me the versatility of I could shake bees in here, I could do my mite check out of this bucket if I wanted. The reason I'm not using this as much anymore is the plastic they're making these out of, at least last time I checked, is not UV resistant, and it's cracking on me because I leave my gear out in the sun a lot. So I put this up in the barn shed, and I'm essentially just using it when I need a specific sort of thing. But you can see how I can set my gear in here. My hive tool, my brush is going to go in here. Second hive tool. And the top of this Hive Butler is ventilated. So if I did put bees in here, this will be ventilated. That's my kit. I'm getting ready to drive out to her property. Why don't you come on with me, and I'll bring the camera, and we'll see what we get when we get to Tamara's property. Stick with me. Well, hey, everybody, it's Chuck.
Good morning.
And we got Tamara with me. So we're out at her property. It was about a 25-minute drive, which is, of course, manageable. So Tamara, what's going on? What's going on with your bees?
We are headed to Texas, so it was time to find them a new house.
And the moving company won't take bees.
Nope. And I can't get them in my truck.
So if you were going to take up beekeeping in a new location, you could probably try to keep some of your equipment, but you need to find a place for the bees, a bee club, a beekeeper, somebody that can at least use the brood frames, right? Because unless you have a truck where you can haul bees almost like a migratory beekeeper, it's kind of hard to do. And I'm guessing where you're going, you're maybe start beekeeping, or the property won't work.
It depends on what we're getting into there. We don't have a property there yet.
Yeah, but. Yeah. So anyway, what we're going to do, she's got some equipment and some things she's going to send me with. The thing is, the beekeeper you think about on hives that aren't yours, ask some good questions. Like, have you had any diseases or pests that you know of?
This hive started off really healthy. Them when I first got them a year and a half ago, and I haven't treated them since.
So no mite treatments recently. That was one of the good questions, because I'm going to do a mite check if it presents itself, just so I get a where are the mites, right? Because that's something you need to be aware of. An untreated hive that is alive, if you haven't treated that long, is a good sign. Maybe there's some natural mite resistance, or maybe something else is going on. Anyway, just want to introduce you to Tamara, because we might be under our bee hoods for the remainder of this, and we'll see what we got. Stick with us. All right, everybody, so guess what? We're out of the bee yard, and Tamara has got this lovely little Spanish nettle, some primrose, and these are just the things that bloom back here. But the hive is kind of back here, so I couldn't pull the truck all the way back, right? So I've got about 25 yards to move the equipment, not knowing how heavy it is. Tamara says she hasn't ever pulled honey, so there's a chance we got a lot of honey back in there. So just the things I'm thinking about, I got my smoker lit, we got my equipment laid out, Tamara's all dressed up, I'm gonna put my hood on and my gloves on in a second, but we're gonna go back there, and I'm just gonna leave the camera rolling from this point forward probably, and I'll cut this up afterwards just so you can kind of see what we're doing here to dive into this hive. Stick with us, it'll be fun. All right, everybody, I've got the camera rolling, and looks like I just spilled my whitewash, so we're gonna need to get that refilled again. I'll have Tamara bring that up. So the bee entrance is right here, and she's got a reducer on here, and the bees have kind of made their own little entrance around it. Tamara, could you grab that mite wash jug up there? I spilled my that jug, and yeah, just the gallon. Yeah, thank you. And top cover, propolis down, beetle trap up here. Let's get a look at the beetles. Not a lot, a handful. Nice propolis up here. And this is above an wooden frame excluder. Light. So this is good. I mean, it's not super heavy, but this is where we are in Jacksonville. We're not at the point of having a lot of honey, but Tamara said she's never pulled honey, so this is the excess, but there's honey in here.
Okay.
So this hive was not starving. We're in the dearth, and this is, they just like a human body has fat stores. It adds fat when it eats too much, and then you get skinnier when you lose fat. Same thing with honey in a beehive. It's essentially their fat stores for the superorganism. They just keep adding it, and then they burn it when it's not around. I'll just set that down. All right, so now we're getting to the point of disruption. They kind of know what's going on. They're starting to, they're well-behaved bees. They're not swarming at all. Pollen's coming in. Some burr comb here. So we're not boiling with bees, but there's three deeps here that can have bees. So this top frame, just with some wax and stuff, it's not boiling. So that means we don't have a beast of a hive, which is good. It's easier to move a hive that's not a beast of a hive. So we're gonna make just a little bit of inspection here on the edge, kind of get a sense of how much, looks like I'm seeing foundation here, a lot of propolis, but that's what you get with hives that haven't been really manipulated much. Okay, pure foundation with a little bit of honey, second from the end. Probably needs a little bit of wax there. We're gonna reuse that, and I'll make some room to go into the middle, because this is where the brood would be if there's brood in the top third box. That'll be right there. It'll be right in the middle. And there we go. Brood in the top of the box, a nice little honey cap, which is exactly what you would want on the top of a hive where the super is above it. Dark wax, evidence of eggs and larvae, so there's a queen, no doubt about it. Now I'm starting the long process of looking for the queen, deciding if I'm gonna go through every frame, just check the middle, see if we get lucky. All the way to the top. Now, now there could be an empty. Sometimes hives move vertically, and they could be all the way up here, but not in the bottom. So the question now is going to be how many frames of brood are in this hive. And you said the queen was unmarked, so it's a little trickier to find.
You don't
want to smoke us? I think I'm okay. If they're bothering you, let me know if you need a puff. I'm just kind of keeping them. Evidence of some queen cups, no larva, so it's not a supersedra going on right here in the middle. There's cups, no larva. Very old wax, kind of dark. Cups.
Oh, is that her right there?
It's a drone right here.
Oh, that's a
drone. Drone, yep, drone. Yeah, we'll have drones until October, November here. Not as many as in the spring. Yeah, they're starting to get a sense of what we're doing. More brood, wow. Drone frame, foundationless wire up here. Lots of queen cups all over this hive, but some of these are old. Very old. Just left them. No queen that I can see on that one. A lot of bees, but all right. We'll move this one. It's a double screen board without an entrance, so it's essentially acting like a vented bottom board. Yeah. Similar to the previous box. No brood yet. Remnants of a treatment a long time ago. How long ago was that treatment, you think? 3 years? 2 years? Year and a half? Okay. Eggs and larvae here, so she's laying in the second one. Yeah, I do. Still eggs and larvae on the edge, so probably about six or seven frames of brood that she's still laying in down here, which is a lot of brood that is still continuing to grow. Be in my bonnet somehow. Somehow she got all the way up. It's a good trip she made to get up there. Creative. Mm. not very heavy, so not a lot of honey in this one. You can see her? Is there a hole, or you just see where she is? Oh, right here. Oh, yeah, good eye. Right in the eyelid. Okay. It's all right. Yeah, I'm not too worried about it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's get this ready. This is the mite soap for a mite wash. Okay. So we're gonna.
Oh, for the mite wash.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just, before we take them into the apiary at home, we just need to kind of know where they are. Yeah. And you haven't changed these in a year and a half either?
No.
Okay.
There's no
what to expect. They are doing great. My hives are doing good this year.
Still making your own queens?
Yeah, matter of fact, I just did a whole requeening process. I'm going to mite resistant queen, so I've just replaced every queen in my apiary. I'm testing every single hive, every single queen now for mite resistance. So, genetically or, I wouldn't say genetically. They're bred from resistant stock so that their progeny have the opportunity to be resistant even though I'm open mating, so I'm not artificially inseminating. That, well, obviously, you know, bringing bees across borders has its own risks too, but you're right, from the genetics. And believe it or not, there's mite-resistant bees as close as Cuba, too.
Okay.
So,
still,
yeah. You know, there's a lot of theories on why our bees in the U.S. are not mite-resistant. And one of the arguments is because we're treating. And they don't need to be mite-resistant, or they haven't genetically had the, you know, the Darwinian evolution of only the strong survive pressure, because our commercial industry is treating. And you could argue, oh, there she is. Look at your lady. Beautiful dark queen.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Well, she's been running this three-frame hive for a while. You're not sure when she got replaced, but beautiful dark queen. So the reason I'm going to catch her is because, A, I don't want to hurt her when I put her back in and do all this manipulation, right? And B, when I do mite checks, I like to know where the queen is, right? You know? Okay, so she is now at a clip, and see my little rubber band trick? That keeps me from accidentally opening this so she can get out. So ladies and gents, we got the queen, which is exactly what we wanted. Now I can be a little bit more aggressive, right? You know, I can go faster if I needed to. I can shake and bump the bees around a little bit more. But now that we know where she is, let's see where your mites are. You got any clue? What do you think?
I don't know.
Need a few more bees. Yeah. Well, the great thing about this test is that without a doubt, whatever is in here is what these bees are doing, right? You have no treatments in a year and a half, so all of that is worn off. So if you've got no mites, or if you have a lot of mites, this is just where they are. So all I do is you immerse about 300 bees into the soapy water, that euthanizes them, and you just do a little bit of a swirl. And the mites will come through the cup. I've got holes in the bottom of one of them. Do this for about a minute, kind of swirl them. And then you kind of set it down. And then you kind of come back to it. So we can kind of hold that little gem for a surprise here in a minute. I'm going to pull out these treatment strips. And then I'm going to move this box to the truck. And then we'll come back and see how it looks. I do want the queen to come with me, so I'm taking her with me. Bit of a trick to do in the field. This is now I'm no longer waiting on a spring to move. So she's now safe in a clip that I can no longer bump. So for those, I'm off camera right now, but I just put the queen in the queen cage without a spring clip. So that's what was doing on there. All right, moment of truth for your mites. Let's see where we're at. Do this, since you haven't done this very many times, finish swirling, and I kind of let all the mites kind of come down, and then you look through the bottom and count mites. More than 30. Lots of mites. That number should be 3. Okay. Now, I'm not telling you were doing anything wrong. You were naturally beekeeping, but it's a little surprising with that many mites. You've actually got this many bees. But so who's to say you're wrong or right? But with our current practices, we're trying to keep mite counts low. Only because we know they transmit disease. And that's what they look like. They're little red, copper, almost like baby little ticks sort of shape. So that is what I'm trying to fight in my apiary without treatments by going mite resistant. So the bees are removing the mites, not me. Now, that is probably going to be a lifelong journey. Not going to finish that in a year. Put that in here. All right. Board with the bees. And let's see, we'll do a little shake. All right, let's see what we got. Yeah, these foragers, this is what I was talking about. There's just gonna be foragers. I can kind of do a shake as soon as I'm all settled up and take as many as I can off of it. We're gonna stick to that board and we'll see what we can do. Okay, cover. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go look at the truck. Got the queen, got all the bees up at the truck. Now we gotta figure out how we are gonna get them secured in a way that could take a, I don't wanna say a traffic accident, but I don't know, if I hit the brakes to try to avoid tailgating or hitting somebody, I don't want them to go anywhere. So, the queen's in a cage. We have a bottom board that has some bees on it. The super doesn't have much on it. This bottom board is actually probably going to be one of our best things we can do here. Let me think about this. Well, actually, we've got a lid here. Oh, you got another lid? Okay. Yeah, let's do that. Let's grab that second lid.
Yeah. With the mite check. It was the very first mite check I ever did, and she ended up in the same cup.
That's probably why you didn't do any more mite checks. You were afraid of hurting her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's when I got that meat from you. And you were like, well, and I put them, you know, the piece of paper in between.
Yep, the newspaper combined.
And I think she did okay. I mean,
well, obviously you're doing something right. You kept.
I let them be for like 3 weeks before I opened the paper.
Right. Well, obviously you did something right. You kept bees alive for more than one season. These straps are so janky sometimes.
Yeah, just a, you put this one on the bottom, but remember it's your house.
So okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a buzzy ride home for a lot of bees.
They're much calmer though than the other bees I had.
Yeah.
The other bees were nasty. They're very calm.
Yeah, other than the fact we just kind of tore their house apart, they're actually doing pretty good, aren't they? Yeah. Yeah.
I would be all the way over there.
And they'd find you.
I would hear them.
Oh, no.
Really mad, like I'm going to get blood.
You know, that behavior of your bees kind of coming across a yard can actually scare a lot of beekeepers away from beekeeping because they're so worried about their neighbors or anybody else having that same experience, right? You know?
Well, they have have a screen over their house. When they put that screen, they just built it over there.
Yeah.
Because nobody was there. It was a field before.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the best trick there is for neighbors.
We have chickens, so I can make, so they don't have a roof.
Yeah, roosters are loud. I don't have any. My wife vetoed the chicken rooster combination. Yeah. I think she was just like, you go to work too much for me to have to deal with that. Yeah. Yeah. He didn't want to be wiping any chicken butts when they get their stuff in them and, you know, diseases and things they do get, you know. Have you? All right, Dylan. All right, those have some weight to them, which is good. Bottom board will probably just buzz. Now, yeah, we'll grab that when we. I'm gonna just go shake as many bees into the hive butler as I can. So we're taking as many of the foragers as we can. Actually, that brush. Do you see a brush? There we go. That was my intent. Was the very last round. Get as many as we can. Gonna get. You want me to leave these right here? Okay. Let them settle down. They're just gonna cluster in a beard on all they know is a home. That's about all you can do, and it'll take a few weeks. Drive up and grab the other stuff, and then we'll secure everything. Yeah, I do need to grab that. Just hit pause. All right, everybody. How long do you think that took, Tamara? Half hour? 45 minutes, maybe?
45, yeah.
Anyway, found the queen. Three deeps of half full brood. So a strong hive, a few too many mites. We'll have to take care of that. But we'll give them a good home, Tamara.
Thank you.
Safe travels to Texas.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you next time.